from your hostess with the mostest, Lauren Hines.
This is I Did It My Way, the podcast that brings you into the story of leading entrepreneurs and tastemakers.
In 1997, Eddie Pham began his career in marketing and events as a student at George Mason University, where he booked the Roots for his first music festival. In 2000, Eddie signed a local band named SEV to a major record deal with Jimmy Iovine and Geffen Records. This landed them a commercial for Pepsi Blue, which aired during the MTV Video Awards. In 2001, Pham helped coordinate a fundraising campaign for orphans living in Egypt that generated nearly $1.1 million. In 2005, Eddie was selected for Bono's One campaign to serve as a U.S. delegate to help promote the Commission for Africa. This effort increased global funding to the world's poorest people by $50 billion. As owner of IKY Clothing, in 2008, Pham was involved with marketing campaigns that included celebrities such as Sir Richard Branson, Maroon 5, Quincy Jones, Denzel Washington, Beyonce, and the Dave Matthews Band. Eddie has served in various board member and committee roles for Business Networking International, Chamber of Commerce, and International Special Event Society, where Impact Collective won 7 Capital Awards in 2012, 2013, 2014, and 2015 for events around the world. Currently, Pham is a board member of Metro Event Specialists, where he holds the position of Community Engagement Director. These days, Eddie can be found at his favorite client site, where he serves as the Event Sales Director at the winery at Bull Run. He is also the creator of Networking for Good, a series of events in the DC metro area that benefit both business and nonprofit communities. His greatest passion is serving as the founder of Meant to Live Foundation, where he launched a ministry called Splendor, which utilizes the universal power of music to inspire and empower individuals living in poverty and prisons around the United States. Welcome, 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 event professionals. I am Lauren Hines, and I am your gracious hostess. Really happy to welcome you for another installment of I Did It My Way. And today, we feel super blessed to have with us none other than Mr. Eddie Pham. If you have heard of him, you might have heard his bio beforehand, but he's worked with probably everyone that you can imagine that you know, you have already known of in the entertainment industry. He's probably one degree of separation from most people. And, you know, one thing I love about Eddie, he has done it in a way that really reflects his passion, his heart. He's chosen to do it his way in a way that really gives back. And it's just very refreshing in an industry to find someone like Eddie around, like, hey, he's a unicorn. He's here. I was talking to my assistant today, like, he's like Mr. America. So welcome, Eddie, to I Did It My Way.
Thank you. Welcome. I feel welcome. I'm glad to be here. I'm excited to be part of your show. It's an honor.
Awesome. Awesome. Thanks so much, Eddie. So, Eddie, bless us with your story, man. Can you tell us, like, just how and when you decided you were going to enter and champion the events world here?
Yeah, I was a student at George Mason University in Fairfax, Virginia. And Mason's known to be a commuter school. So, you know, we felt kind of shortchanged all the other schools, all my friends from high school. They were at UVA, they were at Tech, they were at James Madison University. And they were part of like a real, you know, fraternity and sorority system. They had, you know, awesome football games and basketball games. And they would like, you know, pregame and have fun at, and they have concerts on campus. And I was jealous because all the students, you know, would go home on the weekends and I'd be in the dorms. So basically like my third or fourth year of college, I decided that we need to make more fun on campus. So I joined the program board and started creating events, especially concerts and festivals on campus. And so we would work with like local bands, regional bands, and we even, you know, put some really major, some big bands on campus. My favorite one we did was Mason Day. The year that I was graduating, we had the Roots headline this thing. You know, 1998. And it was a lot of fun. It was the biggest Mason Day in history, and 5,000 people on the quad. And I just remember standing on stage about to introduce the Roots and seeing the crowd. And I realized that this is exactly what I should be doing, what I want to be doing.
Wow. How cool is that? That's pretty cool. So this is college days, right? So do you feel like you already knew somehow in your mind you were going to be producing these kinds of events before you got to college? What was it that led up to, you know, this chosen career path?
Well, I was a marketing student originally. And prior to that, I started Mason thinking I was going to go pre-law. I knew that I wanted to use my mouth for something, but I didn't want to study. And I didn't want to go to 3 years law school. Once I found out about 3 years law school, I found out like in my third day of school that, you know, it's going to take, you know, you go to undergrad and then you apply to another university. I actually didn't know that. I didn't think that far ahead. So that took law school right out. And I had been dreaming about being a lawyer my whole life. All my teachers told me I was going to be a lawyer my entire life just because I'd always negotiate and try to get my way out of trouble. But I went down the marketing route because I wanted to be creative and I wanted to, you know, get into public relations, things like that. But there was still something missing. So once I learned about more event side of marketing, using an event as a platform to market something or promote something like a fashion show or a concert or, you know, some type of event like that, I realized that I wanted to combine marketing and events. So in my last couple of years, I was very blessed. Some students, you know, they graduate and they go in the wrong field or they do something that, you know, that they feel obligated to do. But I was just excited to, in my last year of school, actually, I landed a full-time gig right before I graduated. And I was actually employed to do these major festivals in DC called Freedom Festival and Shamrock Festival. And those festivals actually had about 30,000 people. And that was before 9/11, when we could use Pennsylvania Avenue and do festivals, you know, between the Capitol and let's say like the Ronald Reagan building. And we would block off, you know, streets, and we would have, you know, beer trucks and four stages. We'd have every local radio station in the area, including DC 101 and back then HFS. That was a major radio station. And, you know, the streets would be packed and that'd be a huge, you know, huge block party in Washington, D.C. So that's how I actually started my career. I mean, I jumped right in my last year of college. And in my first year out of college, I was doing these major events. So I was fortunate to get into what I really love to do right away.
Wow, that's awesome. That's really awesome because you think of so many people, they wait so long before they finally get into their passion and what they love doing. But you're fortunate by having this position open up. And obviously, I mean, people say luck is really laboring under the correct knowledge. And, you know, luck is where that opportunity comes for a person who has preparation. And so someone was watching you, someone saw that resume and knew that you were capable of handling this. So you had that hard work beforehand.
Yeah, I got to say, it was all networking. You know, as a college student, I realized the importance of networking. And I would, even as a college student, I'm booking these bands, working with their record labels and their management and their agencies. I was insisting to meet with them and have lunch with them. And even as a student, I would treat. It would be my treat. And they would be surprised that a college student would come out and meet them on my own time and pay for their lunch. But I wanted their knowledge and I wanted their network. And most importantly, I wanted to build a relationship because it was the relationships that I was building that even to this day in 2017, that have helped get me to where I am. In that industry, you have to have connections, and not just connections by name, but you have to cultivate those relationships over time before you make those phone calls and say, hey, I need one of your artists. They get hit up 1,000 times, different parts of the world, and for them to consider you, you have to have a good relationship, but you also have to have the background and the expertise to actually produce the event and win their trust.
Wow. You just hit on a couple of really big things, Eddie. Okay. So you hit on networking. I know you have Networking for Good, which is an awesome thing that you're doing in the air. I'd love for you to talk a little bit about that. But beyond that, you went to these big name folks that other people may have been afraid to contact, or they did contact and just came at them the wrong way. But how did you set up those meetings as a college student who knew all you were going to offer them was, say, a free lunch? But how did you approach that for people who are trying to set those meetings up now?
It was one relationship at a time. Like I would meet with like the top area's top local and regional band from the area, the district, but they had been signed to a record label. And then, so they had connections that I didn't have. So I would take them out and I would find a way to include them in our festival and they would win. So you always have to offer something. That's how it starts. You never can go to somebody and ask for something unless you're willing to offer something first. That's how networking really is. Like it's one time it was explained to me as the giver's gain philosophy, meaning the more that you can give somebody, whether you're giving them something personal, you're giving them tickets to something that they want, they can entertain their family, or whether you're giving them a piece of business or you're giving them a referral. The whole idea is to give first. And that's the philosophy. Once you give, people feel inclined to want to return the favor. And I try to make networking not about asking for things. I try to make networking about building the relationship. The mistake a lot of us make is we'll go to a networking event and we'll pass out as many cards as we want. And that's not a deep relationship. As a matter of fact, that's not even networking. We call that passing a lot of cards out. That's what it is. You're just putting pieces of paper in people's hands. They may not even remember you. We rather have more quality conversation with the people people, and most importantly, the follow-up. So if I met you at a networking event, I talked a little bit about you. I found out about your family, your life, your child, what you do, what you love, what makes you tick. And then I remember those things and I even take notes on your card. And the next day, if not that same night, I'm linking in with you. I'm sending you a personal note and I'm asking if we can do a follow-up coffee meeting or a lunch, something that we can do to follow up on that conversation and build the relationship further. So I always start with not asking what I really want to ask. I always start with building the relationship, asking them things about them that's really important, and me finding out ways that I can contribute to what they're already doing first. That's good faith. That's stepping out in good faith.
Absolutely. That's good stuff. That reminds me of Tom Stanley. I think he just passed away recently, but he talks about, I believe he wrote The Millionaire Next Door, but he talks about being an apostle. It's a different kind of apostle when you seek how to give before you just spread your message out there for everyone to hear. So that's good stuff. So networking for good, is that how you translated all that?
Networking for good is a product of my company, Impact Collective. And that's fast forward to about 2011, I believe, when we started that. And the concept was, we were already all networking anyway. I was part of a BNI group, Business Network International, and I was part of Chambers of Commerce. And I realized that you go to these events, you pass out cards, you meet people, you network, you have food and drinks and things like that. But I wanted to create an event that people could still network, but there was a cause related to it. And so when people came, their entry was no longer an admission ticket, it was more of a donation. So instead of paying registration fees, you'd pay a donation to the charity. We would choose a different charity every month so we could highlight a different charity. We worked specifically with local nonprofits here in DC because we wanted to give them more limelight. We try to, every now and then work with those major global nonprofits, but they already have plenty of resources. So each month would be a different venue. So the venues would be really excited because they'd want to, host us. And we'd include food, beverage, networking. Sometimes there'll be entertainment there, but it'll be just a really fun way to network. And we call it, our tagline is, the event is called Networking for Good, but our tagline is Connections for a Cause. So we have upcoming networking events for Networking for Good. Actually, March 15th is our next one, right here in Herndon at Breakers Lounge. It's benefiting Mental Lift Foundation, which is a nonprofit that we started in 2013. We're about to hit our fourth year anniversary. And of course, our mission is really to combating poverty, both locally in DC and in Zambia, where we have 250 orphans.
Wow, that's awesome. Do you have one for folks who might hear this right around or after March 15th? Do you have one slated next for us? If not, we can always update the folks later on, but do you have your next one scheduled?
Yeah, we're working on April 20th is the next one after that. And that one's gonna be focused more on the homeless population in Washington, DC, and all the money raised will be going to an organization supporting a lot of lost people.
Very cool. Very cool. Very cool. Thanks for sharing. And so you talked a little bit about Impact Collective. So what got you to starting that? Because there was a lot that happened between graduating and the launch of Impact. I know you helped sign someone to a Jimmy Iovine deal and a whole lot of other things that happened in between. So what was that progression that got you to Impact Collective?
Well, So right out of college, when I was doing the event thing, I managed events also, which I love. And I was able to attract one particular local band named Sev, spelled S-E-V, who coincidentally was really up and coming in the local area. And asked me to manage them, so I did that for a while. And in the process, we entered a contest held by Jimmy Iovine from Interscope Records. Now, Jimmy, if you're in the music industry, he's signed and worked with U2 and like No Doubt and Enrique Iglesias and Eminem and 50 Cent. And so he's big time, but he was looking for an unknown artist. So he started a show called Farm Club, where you could get a band and get a bunch of votes. And that was way back. I mean, think about the grassroots that was taking. There was no Facebook at the time. There was no social media. So we had to go to the website that we had to direct our fans to vote. We won the contest. We went to LA and we performed on national television, opening up for Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, and Ice Cube. We were doing an NWA reunion. And wow. Snoop Dogg filled in for Eazy-E. So we got to open, and by opening for the show, Jimmy decided, because of the response, that he wanted to sign us to his record label. So we got signed, later on had a Pepsi Blue commercial, and had a pretty good run in the music industry. And that literally, learning how to do that grassroots and networking on a global scale kind of helped propel me in the future. And I did start my own company you asked about earlier. I started that in 2009. And that was just a culmination of working with different charities, different event planning companies. And I even had one tangent, which I regret, but it actually helped me learn a few things. I went into technology sales for like a year, year and a half. I wanted to see, you know, what that was about. A lot of my friends were doing that and they were making a lot of money. And I did that, but it was not me. So I had to get out of that and go back to what I really was. I had to go back to my roots. But yeah, Impact is the culmination of everything that started from my senior year in college all the way up till January 2009 when I was ready to have my own thing. So I'm very happy and very proud of what we've been able to do with the company.
Hey everyone, hope you've been enjoying this episode of I Did It My Way. I'm Lauren Hines, your hostess. And at this point, we wanted to encourage you all to let us know if you have a business or you have a project that you're pushing forward. We would love to welcome you as a sponsor for I Did It My Way. In addition, we're here in the local Georgia area, so we have other opportunities if you are interested in being able to expand your business here in Atlanta, the metro Atlanta area, or if you are local to here. We want to encourage you to reach out and find out some opportunities available through the I Did It My Way sponsorship program, as well as some on-the-ground activities that we do through Atlanta Wedding and Event Professionals Network throughout the year. We have dozens of opportunities for you to be able to partner with us for more than simply the podcast, which of course will reach our audience, but also of course if you want more live on the ground visibility as well in the more high touch capacity, we're happy to be able to introduce some of those opportunities to you too. More so, we just love partnering with other vibrant entrepreneurs who are creating their stories every single day. And so help us along our journey, and we'll help you along yours as you consider partnering with us for I Did It My Way as a sponsor and beyond. If you want to reach out to us, you can contact me, Lauren Hines. You can reach out at info@atlantawep.com, or you can reach out to us by phone at 1-800-316-7816. And we look forward to hearing from you soon. Enjoy the rest of your journey, and we hope you enjoy the rest of this episode. Thanks for checking it out.
Yeah, I mean, you've really made a movement, Eddie. And without probably recognizing it, maybe you did because you have a strong sales background as well, but you really created a niche for yourself, I believe, in terms of, hey, I can give back while I'm moving forward. In fact, that's probably the system. That's how you move forward, by reaching and helping others as you go forward. And so talk with me a little bit about that philosophy, that guiding philosophy of yours, and really how Meant to Live as well came about, because I love that story. That's probably a two-pronged question there, but I'd love to hear.
So you want to hear about how Meant to Live got started? And you want to hear about the movement?
Yeah, so the impact, so Meant to Live, how that came along, and of course the philosophy, that kind of how you got this guiding philosophy of we're going to give while we grow in our business, because it's not a separate thing. How did you get to that point? And was there something that really got that philosophy going for you, that guiding philosophy going for you? And then how does that even connect to Meant to Live?
We named our company Impact for a reason. We wanted to literally, like that word, we wanted people to think about that when they heard the name. That's what we want to do with everything we do. So whether it's a wedding, we're working with a bride and groom and their parents, taking away their stress, minimizing their expenses, optimizing their budget, taking away anything that's causing them any conflict, and also giving them peace of mind. That's an impact. We were working with nonprofit fundraisers, and these organizations, a lot of them didn't know how to keep their budgets down. They were spending a lot of money on their fundraiser. We taught them how to bring their budget down and optimize their income, optimize their attendance. So whether it's impacting communities or impacting a couple or impacting a corporation for their branding or their product launch, impact was what we wanted to do. We, you know, the corporate social responsibility we were doing with our own company wasn't enough. Like, we wanted to literally go deeper and impact communities. So we started our own 501c3 called Meant to Live Foundation, which I mentioned earlier. Matter of fact, if you want to see our kids, these are our kids in Zambia.
Wow. Five kids? Oh, these are five of the kids.
What's that?
Five of the kids from the school, right?
Yeah. Those are some of our kids. We have 250 going on 310 this year. But we started the foundation because we wanted to actually have an organization just dedicated to the cause. And it runs parallel with Impact. You know, Impact supports Meant to Live. Impact funds Meant to Live, and Impact provides resources such as, you know, staffing and advisory. And a network and resources to the foundation. So it's the best of both worlds. I get to have a for-profit company that pays the bills and does what I love to do. And I have a nonprofit that gets the focus, you know, hyper focus on impacting communities deeper and really providing, you know, help for the needs and assisting the needs of those people that are suffering the most. We try to help the people that are the most broken in their communities. And it's Meant to Live is a movement in the sense that it was based on a song called We Were Meant to Live. Yeah. It's by a band called Switchfoot. You should look them up. They're a great band from San Diego.
And much more. Yep.
For so much more. And the bridge says, we want more than this world has to offer. So we were thinking, first of all, I love music, as you can tell, but we were thinking that it was important to not just name the organization in a generic way, but have it to be a movement, just so when people heard the name, they actually could think of the fact that it's not just the people that we're serving are meant to live, but we were meant to live with a greater call to help these people, to be honest with you, not just to help these people, it's everybody that sees that can help their own community. They can help their own backyard. They can help their own neighborhood. They can help their own families even. It doesn't have to even be a charity. You know, helping your own family or somebody that's struggling or a friend or somebody in your life is in fact making an impact. So you don't have to go to Africa. You don't have to start a charity. You don't have to go on a mission trip. You don't have to go feed the homeless to actually fulfill your purpose. You're supposed to be here on earth. The reason we started the foundation was just a reminder that we're not intended just to be here to work and live and eat and sleep and live and that's it.
Yeah.
So here we have a purpose on earth, a greater purpose and a greater calling.
Absolutely. What, there's always that journey, that time in your journey that becomes those moments where things can never be the same. And I think all of us who understand like, hey, my purpose is so much greater, or this is not the end all, and how we filter our decisions usually comes from a couple of those instances. What were those experiences or parts that really molded you, that got you up in a cold sweat at night? Or what was that time for you?
It's just been building forever, for years, because my parents immigrated from Egypt. They were living in poverty, and they struggled to study engineering when they were in Egypt. Their parents sacrificed a lot. My grandmother sold her wedding ring to provide funds for my mom to actually be able to pay her school dues. And my mom spent her whole life, which thank God she's still with us, even due to a breast cancer illness that almost took her out, actually. But by the grace of God, she's still around and surviving. But her whole life was to provide for her kids and create a legacy that way. And that inspired me, because my parents went through a lot to be able to provide for me, my brother, my two sisters. And when they did that, I didn't forget my roots. I didn't forget my background. Now, I've lived a very privileged life thanks to my family. But I know that a lot of people out there in the world that do not. There's millions of people living under $1 a day in life. There's thousands of people losing their life every single day due to, you know, HIV or poverty or preventable diseases. So I just, I felt, at least for myself, I had to take responsibility. I can't make everybody do that, but I can be responsible for my own actions. So I just felt like starting the nonprofit, starting a movement, and if people want to get involved, that's awesome. But at the very least, I have to do my part. So a lot of it stems from my family and the fact that they were able to achieve the American dream despite a lot of challenges. And I want to pay it forward.
Absolutely. So being that you already are down this track, I'm sure you've attracted a lot of folks who are just wanting to collaborate with you, partner with you, do different things with you. Is that something you're looking for now? Because even now, I'd love for you to share also about a little bit more about Splendor. But as you do all these things, it has to attract folks who are just awakened. And, you know, and they say, what can I do to participate? How can I be part of something already that you're doing?
Yeah, we're very fortunate. You're right. It's like the law of attraction. We do what we do. And there's a lot of folks that come out and say, hey, I've been wanting to do something. I've been wanting to contribute, but I don't know how. So we provide them the means. We provide them the way, whether it's getting involved in supporting an event through an in-kind sponsorship or donating money or sponsoring a child with Mental Health Foundation. One thing just touched upon was Splendor. So we have the orphans program in Zambia is called the Oz Project. And my brother, who's he's a priest in Zambia, Father Abraham, actually, is his name, which is a very fitting name for having that many kids, right? Father Abraham had many.
It's very fitting, yeah.
So, but I was, it wasn't enough just to send money and do events in Africa. It wasn't enough for me. I felt called to do something locally. So we launched a new ministry about a year and a half ago called Splendor, where we take whether it's inner city youth or folks that have been through alcohol, drug rehabilitation, homeless, people that are facing all kinds of poverty and disadvantages locally, DC and Northern Virginia and Maryland, actually in this region, the DMV. And we would actually take them to an inspirational concert like Michael W. Smith, Amy Grant, Toby Mack, Natalie Greene, Danny Gokey, who was an American Idol, Colton Dixon, who was also American Idol, Lauren Daigle, who was also an American Idol. Because hopefully somebody out there at least knows those names, but we would take them backstage to meet the artists to receive a positive message. We would feed them, we would get them, you know, t-shirts and CDs and goodie bags and merchandise. They would have a meet and greet with the artist. They would watch the concert, and it's just a night out from whatever their circumstance is. It's a VIP experience that we felt we'd give. And being that I'm in the event industry, I was able to get, you know, great catering for them, or, you know, great transportation for them to pick them up, things like that. And it's all about, you know, I'm in the events industry, so it's all about working together to help people. And it's just a great way to form an alliance with your own fellows in the industry. And, you know, we build relationships together. The event industry is a very collaborative industry. It's not a competitive one. And so there's many event planners out there that are supporting us. And even though we have our own event company, we're very grateful to those event planners. So for everything we're doing, all the networking for good events, you can find both at impactcollective.com and also menttolive.org. And Meant to Live is Meant, M-E-A-N-T, the number 2, live, L-I-V-E.org.
That's cool. And I'm guessing that's where they can connect with you too, huh?
Yeah, I would love to hear from everybody that's watching and listening. If they want to connect, my email actually is eddie@impactcollective.com. I would welcome any email from anybody listening. If they have any questions, if anybody wants to get involved, anybody has any ideas for us. But we're very blessed to have people like yourself actually, you know, interviewing us right now and just putting us out there to your network. We're very honored that you could do that for us.
Yeah, yeah. And you talked about giving back. It really is, because this is how we give back to our event community here. But you guys take it to really the biblical level, which is what's better. You know, true ministry is giving back to the poor, the widows, and the orphans. And you guys are just doing such an inspiring job doing that while you work, because so many people say, let me work, accomplish these goals, and then I'll get here. And we don't recognize that right now, where you are, where you start, you have a God-given gift, a talent that you can choose, if you so will, to choose your free will to do so, to give back. And I love it.
You're absolutely right, though. Everybody always says, you know, like even I said it, I told my brother in 2012, I said, you know, one day when I retire, I want to start a foundation. Okay. And he's a priest. Okay, pray about that. Pray about God's timing. And a few months later, he calls me up and he says, look, we're having this, you know, issue with all these orphans running around and no one to support them. And he's like, that time is now. And I'm like, all right, the call was made. God sent my brother to make that phone call. And I knew when I got that phone call that I needed to start right away, that I couldn't ignore it. I didn't want to live, you know, a comfortable life and then retire at whatever age and then decide, okay, I'm going to start helping. Because I felt like I'd be wasting my life. I have so much, you know, now. I have so many resources now. Why wouldn't I use those resources, those connections, my network, the generosity of loved ones and friends and people in the industry? Why wouldn't I use that now to help other people? I was obligated. A verse we use, you mentioned scriptures, we use the verse, to whom much is given, much is required, from the Gospel of Luke. And we use that because we've been given so much as a company. We're also living in the nation's capital. We're living in the most powerful city in the world. And how could we not, you know, use all the gifts and blessings and the talent we've been given to help other people, you know, that are in great need. So it was a very obvious call. And once I made that move, I stepped out on faith, and I've never looked back. And I don't plan on retiring. You know, one day it'll probably be more geared towards the foundation, you know, down the road here, but I don't plan on ever stopping. There's too much work to be done. The harvest is great and the labors are few.
That's awesome. Thank you, Eddie, so much for sharing that. And, you know, we're going to jump off, but I could talk with you all day about everything from the multiple areas that, you know, you so graciously and so wonderfully do. But one quick question. We have someone who, let's say you have someone getting involved now in event planning or event production. Because I want to ask this to you, because you've done multiple arenas of it. Some people can only speak to weddings. Some people can only speak to entertainment, but you can speak to a wide range. What advice do you give to that new person coming involved, and how it relates to using their purpose? Following their purpose, sorry.
I'd say, you know, anybody, no matter where you're at, whether you're just beginning or you've been doing this for 20 years, I always say take inventory in what you have in your life. know, it's not just about income. It's about how many people you have around you, how many friends and family, how many loved ones, how well you cared for, how many people have mentored you, how many people have invested in you, how many people have believed in you. Yeah. And try to flip that and say, well, who can I invest in? Who could I help? Who could I mentor? Who could I guide? Who could I, you know, contribute to? Because when you start to think back at all the things that have been done for you on your behalf, whether it's through family, through parents, through siblings, through best friends, through teachers, professors, you know, there's so many people. If you look back, I say take inventory first. You can't move forward. You can't give back unless you know exactly how blessed and how fortunate you are. For it's in that blessing that you're able to really, you know, be bubbling over and just overjoyed and overfilled to move that forward and pass it forward to somebody else. You won't have to be convinced. You won't have to hear a call. You won't have to, you know, be in church to hear the message. You won't have to come across a homeless man on the street. You won't have to do any of those things once you realize how truly incredibly blessed you are and look at all the many people that have gotten you to where you are. So if you're able to start a business, somebody invested in you, somebody believed in you, if you've been doing it for a long time, you're successful, you didn't get there by yourself. None of us have ever gotten to where we are by ourselves. So think about those people that have no one. There's many people in the world that have nobody to support them, nobody to believe in them, nobody to encourage them. And those are the people that we should be seeking. Part of our mission is not to just take inventory, but also to seek out mission, to seek out work, to seek out people that we can actually help. Because they're not going to land on your doorstep. You're not going to have a homeless guy knock on your front door saying, give me money. You know, you're not going to have a nonprofit necessarily show up to your work and say, please support us. So I encourage, no matter how new you are in the game, even if you're starting your business and you have no money, you still have something, an asset that's more important than money. You have something called time. You can take your time. You can take your time, which is the greatest asset we all have. And you can invest your time by volunteering with a nonprofit. You can volunteer on an event. You can volunteer with registration. You can volunteer in helping fundraise for that event. You can help volunteer by selling tickets. You can volunteer by helping to promote and market that event. You don't have to spend money. You don't have to invest money, but you're investing of your time in a greater asset. And that's how I started. Before I had an income, I volunteered my time.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Well, Eddie, I really appreciate you. And I just thank you again for just taking away even 30 to 40 minutes here just to share your story, share your heart with us. And I really appreciate you for doing that. And our listeners, thank you too. And so until we meet again, obviously, I look forward to seeing all you do to continue to prosper and help others to do the same.
Thank you. You've been a big blessing to us, and your encouraging words in the last couple of times we spoke have meant a lot to me. So I'm grateful for people like you in the industry and our friendship. And yeah. I want to keep encouraging you with your podcast. And I look forward to seeing the growth of your organization. And I do look forward to working with you too and collaborating with you. So let's make a point to make that happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That'll be the next conversation, right?
Thank you for being a part of the magic with I Did It My Way. Visit us at www.atlantawep.com.